Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I have a big announcement in like 3 seconds. After we play our little
game. Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm crazy. Welcome to Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. That's Brandon Newman.
Hola.
I had a great weekend. How was your weekend?
I got some good news this weekend.
Oh, is it better than my news?
No. It was related to yours.
Okay, I'm confused. So
you sent me good news.
Oh, I sent yes, and you sent yes. me a very funny video of you and your fiance dancing to "Let's Jagged Edge."
Yes,
which is always
"Let's
great.
Jagged Edge."
Yes, "Let's Get Married." Is that the name of the song? "Let's Get Married."
I believe so.
Okay, because we went through a thing where you know we don't know the name of songs; we only call songs the chorus.
Right.
Anyway, I got engaged this weekend.
Yay!
And Earl, thank you guys. And Earl did a very good job.
Yes.
The story is private, but it's very romantic.
Yes.
Actually, everyone kind of knows the story who knows me, but I just don't feel like sharing it publicly because I don't even know. Yeah. Actually, should I?
I mean, maybe at some point.
It's very romantic. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to tease.
Okay, yes, tease.
I'm going to tease it. Ryan Hollins joins us today, so we talk a little. You made this ridiculous NBA list, which we'll discuss, and because you got the NBA still thing. We got to work that in right now during NFL season, and we obviously talk a lot of NFL as well. Yeah. So he's great, and we'll do the usuals, Quit It, Petty Report, Culture Report, and all that fun stuff. Let's start with Ryan. All right, Ryan Hollins, welcome back.
Hey.
It's good to have you in again. We're in the middle of NFL season, so we're going to talk a little NFL. We'll get a little NBA because there's some NBA news everyone's very upset with you, which we'll get to in a minute.
Triggered. I think it's a good way to start.
Well, look, here's the thing. Okay, let's just start with it. We are going to get some NFL in a second, but people get triggered with lists, okay?
Yes.
Like, if you want to upset the internet, just make a list. We're going to do a list. Today is National Cheeseburger Day.
Yes,
I'm going to make a list of the best cheeseburgers. My list is correct. There's no conversation.
My list is better.
I disagree. Although Bob's Burgers is an excellent show, which no one can dispute.
Yes.
But
great shirt.
Yeah, it is a good shirt.
Excellent.
Lists upset people. Mm-hmm. So you have a list, okay, of your top 10 NBA players right now, right? So I'm going to read this. Ben Simmons, not in order. In order, but we'll go 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons, mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell,
right.
Jason mm-hmm. Tatum, Kawhi Leonard. Number 6 is Joel Embiid,
mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant,
ooh.
James Harden, Steph Curry, LeBron James.
Cool. Only person.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming that you are cool with this. Cool. Your list.
Only person I really forgot on there is Kyrie. The only person I forgot is Kyrie. Other than that,
Who you swapping out Kyrie for? Because it's got to be top 10.
I mean, he slides over the young fellas. They don't have rings. He slides over the young fellas. Yeah. There's no problems.
Kyrie at 10.
Okay, so here's the problem. Here's the issue I have here.
Yeah, this was not supposed to be.
We
said we were going to talk about it.
I mean, Giannis isn't on here.
Look at it.
There's some things. Okay, we can move around, but I just want to focus on the thing that everybody's upset about, and that's why is James Harden above Kevin Durant?
Last time I checked, Kevin Durant doesn't lead his team. He doesn't do anything other than score. He doesn't play make. The ball is in James Harden's hands the entire game as he distributes, scores, passes. He's the entire show. Last time I checked, Golden State can win without KD. So you're surprised that Harden is above KD of who does more? I'm really confused.
So the thing about it is that I hear what you're saying. With all due respect, no, because Kevin Durant, first of all, he has 2 rings, okay, and 2 finals MVPs.
Yes.
The Warriors did lose the year before he got there, okay, and James Harden, leading his team, did not beat the Warriors.
Did KD join the Warriors, then get a ring with the Warriors, didn't get one without?
How many rings does James Harden have?
He has zero.
Okay.
But he does more as far as a player on a team.
When you're talking about the team sport and you're coming from a position of someone who's been out there on the floor, on the court, playing a team game that is basketball in the NBA, you're ranking it as such. What do these people do for their teams?
Yep.
And the role that they play on said team.
Yep.
I still think you could flop Kevin Durant and Steph Curry because Steph Curry has fallen back to put himself in the fourth position. I feel like he's okay with other people being ahead of him. That's why the Golden State Warriors are doing what they're doing.
Did you watch this series against the Spurs? Did you watch the Warriors against the Spurs when they had to play ugly, grinded out basketball with no Steph, and Iguodala was bringing up the ball up the floor and KD was dribbling super high, uncomfortable, how they slopped through the Spurs? And that was the nasty Spurs. We're not talking Duncan. No. We're not talking Kawhi. The nasty Spurs. Slop through it. Take Steph off that floor.
She's upset.
And tell me how important. How important is your man?
I'm just saying KD is the second best player in the NBA. And it's like 1-1A to LeBron. And it's, I just feel like that's what the internet feels.
Put KD on the team by himself and they struggle. They struggle because KD.
Will we ever see him on a team by himself?
KD's the best. Likely not. He's a smart man.
KD's going to be at the Lakers next year.
KD, arguably, best scorer in the league right now.
Right.
But as far as impact, as far as leading a team, if I take one guy, not a group of guys, one guy on a team, those guys have more impact. Those two are better. They mean more. The Warriors are the Warriors without KD. Argument there?
No. Yeah. I'm going to say no.
He won two finals MVPs. He was the best player in both of those finals with LeBron James on the court.
Joy, all he had to do was score. All he had to do was score.
That's the way you win. That's the way you win. That's not the way you win.
You win when you can score, you can pass, you can play make, when you make others around you better. That's why LeBron James is up here, Steph Curry's up here, and KD's somewhere in the middle. But if we just talking scoring, that's a bad man. Okay,
The only way to get the NBA over the NFL right now is to make a list.
Exactly.
Stumbled into the vortex of lists.
You guys aren't serious, though.
I don't get triggered by lists because I feel like that's your opinion and you're entitled to be wrong.
Listen, why do you think we value quarterbacks? Because they move that pill around. KD is not a quarterback. He's a wide receiver. Let's throw in some NFL. He's a wide receiver.
I'm like male functioning right now. You have to stop. I can't. It's too dramatic. It's way too on here.
And that's hold on, not to mention.
It's not a good comparison.
That is true. That's all he does is catch the ball and score.
If anything, he's a running back.
I'll give you running back.
KD is dependent. He's a very finals dependent. MVP KD, twice. KD he's the best player
KD
on the
is
floor.
Not a quarterback.
He ain't no quarterback. He ain't no quarterback, Joy.
He might as well be Von Miller. Winning Khalil Mack 2015.
You know what Khalil Mack just got done? He got traded.
My blood pressure is
he nice. Got moved.
Okay, so other NBA news. Dwayne
Le'Veon
Wade. Le'Veon
got a deal yet?
Dwayne Wade is returning for a final year with Miami. He's going to be doing the Kobe tour, if you will, with Udonis Haslem. I want to give UD some respect.
UD still playing?
UD is coming back for one more year.
That's an OG.
Rolling out two different tours.
Nobody, let me tell you right now, nobody wants smoke with UD.
No one.
King of Florida.
He deserves his own goodbye tour. He does. But what are your thoughts on Wade coming back for one last dance, as he's calling
it? Thanks, man. Give me another year of broadcasting, man. You see his tweets and his statements. Give me another year. D-Wade, get my feet set on the other side, y'all.
He's definitely coming.
He's definitely coming on this side, man.
He's chasing him.
Take your time, D-Wade. Take your time, girl. Take two tours if you need. But real talk, Dwayne Wade as a player, one of the hardest working competitors and guys that I've ever played against, and even in a sense to his own detriment, he played hard. And for superstars, we don't always think of them playing hard, play in and play out. Mm-hmm. And Wade really was one of the best at that. And just as a competitor, we had a few dust-ups, a few scuffles, but it's always love because you respect that guy on the other side of the ball that plays hard, he works, and he brings it. And, I mean, man, the dude is a hog. And you talk about an overachiever. Like, out of that draft, like, the guy who lost him his senior year in college wasn't supposed to be Dwayne Wade.
Right.
you know what I'm saying?
Knocking out of Marquette.
Oh, man.
He's had a great career, and I know Heat fans are super happy he's back. And he's going to get a statue for sure.
Yeah, yes. Are they going to – how bad are the Heat going to be? This doesn't make them a better team. Like, how bad are the Heat going to be?
Him and Kobe's UD are leading the way for, you know, the young guys. I don't want to talk about it.
Kobe
So the best team, I think, in the NFL right now is the Rams. Very kind of actually low-key, the Rams. Although they were my Super Bowl prediction, Steelers.
What about free agency, Jordan? Low-key?
Okay, but, right, I feel you, except for what are the Rams? Like, would you describe the Rams as anything? Do they have, like, they have all these personalities, but they're quiet. And they're a Los Angeles team. So it really doesn't make any sense.
Define,
like,
quiet for me.
Like, you don't see them out anywhere. Right. You don't hear anything. No, there's
for example,
news.
The Steelers are very loud.
Controversy.
Right now.
Yes. Steelers are everywhere.
Very loud.
Steelers
I don't
everywhere.
Know
Packers
how,
everywhere.
Yes.
Who on the Rams would you recognize? You barely recognize Todd Gurley in commercials.
True that.
Would you, I mean,
Jared
Goff. Sue and Donald, they'd walk into a room and you go, hey, that looks like a Dominican. But everybody else.
Dominican Sue is pretty recognizable. Pretty ginormous.
Robert Woods comes in here if he's wearing Rams gear.
Who is that?
Oh, I think that's.
I'm saying more of their personality as a team is strangely low key for them being a Los Angeles team with. For NFL standards, superstars on the team.
They
and they're 2-0.
They haven't done it long enough. I mean, Donald is a monster, but I mean, what is this? His third or fourth year, really? Like last year, player of the year? Like really? We're talking national media? Like to where, like, I know your name, Aaron Donald? Not that he's not a baller, but.
Yeah, this is the first year of him being the celebrity name that he is and the household name that he is right now. Now, I got the chance to see the.
Is he
Rams.
A household name, though? Before
yes.
you.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and
Aaron Donald.
No one knows what he looks like, but he's
household
name.
Yeah, he is.
Aaron Donald. Yeah,
household name.
Aaron has got like a $70 million.
Does your auntie know Aaron Donald? Does your auntie know Aaron Donald? That makes you a household name.
Not auntie.
Well,
yet.
My auntie would because my auntie's football.
Yeah,
but, RIP.
Yeah. Auntie know LeBron James. Okay. Auntie know Le'Veon.
You watched the Rams on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw the.
You were there.
My boy from the Cardinals, Corey Peters, hooked me up with the tickets. I'm just saying, we got a chance to go down to see the Rams, and I'm telling you, I've never seen a Super Bowl team live in September.
Yeah.
It was crazy. They were accidentally winning. It was like a created team with creative players, and they were just all over the field moving. They were so much faster than any of the Cardinals defenders, and they have Patrick Peterson on their team.
It
was guys you don't even know about. Everyone's just. They get everyone out of sync. Sean McVay's in the headset up to 15 seconds before the snap's getting called.
Who, the
cheating.
Wizard?
Cheating.
He is cheating. He's the wizard.
Jared Goff.
Is he sitting up top?
Team,
is he doing that from the field or is he up top watching? Like
he's on the field.
I feel like he has a cyborg eyeball with a drone.
They're as efficient
view.
As the Jags. I'm just saying that.
Oh, here
seems
you go.
Like, I'm just saying. They're not as talented as the Jags. They're efficient as the Jag on offense.
The
right.
Rams aren't as talented as the Jags?
No. Opposite that.
He's not making statements like that on this podcast.
No. Oh,
God. All right. So my other Super Bowl team, which is just making me look like a liar right now, it's very upsetting, is the Steelers. So I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh. I'm a big supporter of Mike Tomlin.
You know what's going on.
I don't actually. I feel like it's just, you know what I feel like is happening with the Steelers is what happened with Seattle. Mm. So like Pete Carroll, big time named coach, pretty much like brought stability to that organization. Right. Now Pittsburgh's always been, I mean, they've had three coaches in like 100 years. So right. they don't do the flipping coaching thing. What are you about to drop on me?
Can I throw something at you guys?
Yeah.
James Conner is not Le'Veon Bell. And I don't care how many yards you don't just plug that man. He could have 400 from scrimmage. He is not Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell's off the table. He's out of the conversation.
No. What I'm getting frustrated with is his value is so underappreciated. Week one, they blame Roethlisberger, right? They blame Ben.
Right.
Ben held on to the ball too long.
He did a very bad job week one. He was to blame.
Last time I checked, doesn't Ben Roethlisberger hold on to the football?
Yeah, he does.
Hold on to the ball long.
That's his move. Yes. Yeah.
And what is Le'Veon Bell probably the best in the league at? Protecting his quarterback, catching out the backfield, knowing assignment. James Conner ain't that same dude. So when he went to hold on to the ball, that's James Conner back there protecting me.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you, I am with you on this. Like, I don't, I don't. James Conner's done a nice job, but I'm with you on that. Like the devaluing of what Le'Veon Bell brings to that offense is a little embarrassing. Like I don't I'm 100% with
it's
you.
It's a team
that.
Morale thing. It's like we don't need when someone's not in the locker room and they're refusing to come in the locker room. The coaches have to say,
well,
we don't
yeah,
need
they,
this guy
they
in the
have
locker
to
room.
Say that, but say we that. Don't have to say that. Right, like they're right. missing yeah. Le'Veon Bell, yes. and you can
very
argue
seriously.
With it, but you can see what's happening with them. It's not good.
Ben is yeah. missing. If you don't have Ben, you don't win. And if you don't have Le'Veon, you don't have Ben.
I know.
He
and
holds
also,
on to the ball, makes plays. It just
he's
it ain't working.
He's thinner than he's ever been.
Yeah,
look right. a little fragile out there.
Fragile. He had a banged up shoulder, or elbow, whatever. I don't know. Who knows?
AB was the only smart one. He was like, "Hey, I'm with you, dog. Come on back."
Well. Antonio Brown's he's in the news today because yes. he wasn't at practice yesterday, and then he responded on Twitter to a former Steelers staffer. PR staffer or something right. Who said that he only has his career because of Ben, which you know, look, that's not necessarily an insult. You play a dependent position. You aren't
KD
successful.
Style.
Woo.
You aren't successful. I rebuke that statement. You are not successful unless someone gets you the ball. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
KD.
I mean, you got to stop with the comparisons.
Okay, fine. Anyway, he said, just trade me, basically, is what he right. tweeted. I'm paraphrasing, but trade me then to find out or something like that. Right. Right. So then today, Mike Tomlin is like filibustering at this press conference for like 7 minutes, trying to, I don't know, just make
beautiful
us forget that Antonio Brown wasn't in practice. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the Steelers are an organization that I support Mike Tomlin, but I don't understand what his strategy is with the team. And this has been a trend for a while. Because remember Antonio Brown did the Facebook Live mm-hmm. after the win,
yep.
going up to the Steelers,
yep.
and like there's just you are what you habitually do, right? And I feel like mm-hmm. their habit is to do this roller coaster bullshit. And mm-hmm. I don't understand how you're going to win a championship when you have all this unnecessary chaos. And to me, this is unnecessary chaos.
Are we blaming Tomlin, though, or are we blaming the front office? Because my question back to you guys is, what really, what was the worst thing that could have happened if you signed Le'Veon Bell? And if you notice what Aaron Donald's deal, Aaron Donald's deal goes over into that new contract negotiations
right.
with the league, and that deal is obviously going to be changed where cap space could be freed up where they can go and sign Goff if things happen the way that the rules allow that, you know, instead of a hard cap going to a soft cap. So
right.
what I'm saying is they couldn't structure something like that with Le'Veon. Is it because Tomlin has been Tomlin. He's been the fun coach, the cool
right,
coach,
right,
the rah-rah, the guy you down with. They're eccentric, they're loud,
mm-hmm.
and they've won like that. But without your centerpiece, I mean,
you make a good point because you're coming into the season with chaos. It's kind of like what happened with the Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
obviously for different reasons, but
right.
with Ezekiel Elliott, like
mm-hmm.
you have no consistency. You don't
yep.
know if Zeke's going to be there from week
mm-hmm.
to week. How are you preparing? One second he's suspended, the next day he's not. He's going to be there, and I really think that hurt the team overall. And I think it's carrying into this year
what
because you're coming
now?
Off of
oh last year's. In this year too, all the way?
Well, I mean, I just think like now you're starting a new season
right.
where
mm-hmm.
you had to deal with all kinds of. I mean, you lost Dez Bryant. You have a completely like patchwork wide receiver core. And I'm not like, getting into the Cowboys right now, but like there were other
yeah,
issues
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
with the Cowboys. But I'm saying like not having Ezekiel Elliott, your centerpiece, as you said, of your offense available, or not knowing if he's available is an issue. And that's why the players, the offensive linemen started flipping out.
Those
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you kind of coming into the season with a little bit of dysfunction. So you have a point there.
So not only want to cut you off, but thinking of the Cowboys and back to the Rams, it shows you like when your window is there as an athlete, when your window is there, you got to go for it. Like
right.
you can't, that's what frustrates me with the Steelers. Like
yeah.
once you have a generational talent, like Le'Veon, you got to go for it. You got Aaron Donald, even though he's golf is going to be up. You paid all, like you have to go for it now. And that Cowboys offensive line, we just thought they'd be there for forever.
Right.
They're falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing they hung their hat on. Everything is falling apart right now. So when you have opportunity, like you can't wait. Like this is professional sports. It's an ankle, it's a knee, it's a holdout. Right?
Yeah, Le'Veon's protecting his window by sitting out. And the Steelers
facts.
Aren't doing the things they need to do to capitalize the fact that they have Le'Veon Bell, one of the best running backs maybe to ever play in the NFL, on their team, and just won't pay him the money.
And AB. And AB and a capable Ben. Let's
yes,
say he
ben,
may not be
ben on
capable.
His, on his way out. Not, I don't know if that's triggering for you on his way out.
No. I mean, he is like he is.
Yeah.
He's been talking about retiring, and part of that might have been Todd Haley last year with you know the offensive coordinator situation. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I picked them this year because I'm like, this
mm-hmm.
is it. This is
yeah.
it. This is
ooh,
obviously going to be
the
last
Jags
year.
And Pats.
Ooh. Who are these Jags? Why are we talking about the Jaguars?
I'm just asking.
I will not. Blake Bortles, I will not.
Bortles and the Jaguars.
I will not.
You will have to.
They didn't sway you a little bit in that when they
beat the Pats down? The Super Bowl. They've been preparing for this all year. Like, oh, it's regular season game with the Patriots.
Yeah, they're preparing for that game. They're going to prepare for this game and that game and this game and that game. And they're going
to
win all of them.
I can't wait to win Nick, the Patriots Nick Foles
didn't give
season.
You hope that that Bortles can pull a Nick Foles in the Super Bowl? He didn't give you hope?
I'm not going to be completely disrespectful. The Jags are a legitimate team and they have a good defense.
Nick Foles got a ring, dog.
No, I'm saying he can do better. I'm saying the ceiling. I mean, you heard the way Bill Belichick talked about your boy Blake Bortles. He can beat you with his legs. He can beat you with his arms.
Throwing
the ball around the field. Get four touchdowns against the Pets.
He's making that boy feel good to the playoffs. Them boys feel themselves to the playoffs.
He'll need a bat in his back. He got one. It's called being a great football player. NFL caliber.
NFL caliber?
Caliber.
Caliber.
Blake Bortles, great? You just said great?
I mean...
He has this weird thing about the Jags. We let him have it.
On paper, they winning games.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, look, get that regular season championship.
Okay.
All right? I'm not interested in those. I'm interested in
over the Patriots in the playoffs.
Gronk had two receptions for 15 yards against the Jags defense.
He didn't look like a liar.
You know who them boys – You can't leave Josh Gordon one-on-one.
Brady. So what's your opinion of the Josh Gordon thing? Do you think that's a good spot for him?
I absolutely love it. It's a win-win for the Patriots. If he works out, good. We got him for cheap. Right. If he doesn't, it's his fault. No big deal. We move on. Great move. But they desperately need help with that wide receiving core.
They do.
They are nasty. They cannot create separation. And when Tom Brady can't get you open, dog, because Gronk, he's getting bracketed. He's doing everything that he can do. Ramsey was like, cool, I got to guard these bums. No problem. And then you start pressuring Brady. You one-on-one, dog, Jack. And you can't get open in the NFL. What are you doing? Josh Gordon can get open.
If he can get on the field.
Yes.
You know what? But okay, check this, though. Hear this. You know about this more than any of us. They knew Aaron Hernandez had problems before he got to the Patriots. Amen. Am I wrong?
Of course.
They knew he had problems since Florida, right? Mm-hmm. And
before
they got him.
That, in Connecticut, he had problems. Yeah.
Can I say for cheaper, they got a steal in the, what was he, second or third round draft, Hernandez?
Yeah.
And then they knew he was crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say the M word, but they may have known.
I mean, it's okay. Like, he was a murderer.
He's a killer. He's a killer, literally.
He went to jail.
Okay.
There's no alleged needed. That's your point, though. And Aaron Hernandez is just one example, however extreme that example is. Mm-hmm. They have other examples of guys who have had issues before they got to the Patriots. And that's why I think it's a good spot for him, because if you're going to have one last spot, and I do think this is the last stop for him.
Yeah.
Because at this point, if you can't work with a team that's supported you for 6 years and then you can't work with the Patriots, the NFL's not for you. And like, whatever people have opinions about his issues, that aside, I think that the Patriots are a system. So he'll have the support he needs there. And I'm pretty sure he's going to walk in the building and Belichick's going to make it clear you don't have any chances.
Reminds me of something. We keep it honest here. This is the Keep It.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, this is the Keep It 100 podcast.
It reminds me of teammate Lamar Odom. When I played with Lamar when he first came in, I don't want to say he had issues, but just mentally he was gone. He was off basketball. He didn't want to play. He had a lot of personal things going on, and he was an incredible talent. But once we got Lamar on the floor and practice playing basketball, the dude is a royal champ. He responded immediately. I don't know if Gordon necessarily, I'm calling him a royal champ, but once you get him in season playing, he could fit right in, man. That's taking your mind away from things. Yeah. So some guys, a lot of guys just need sports, man. They can't handle the offseason.
Yeah.
They can't handle sitting out. You know what I'm saying? And you hope that Gordon is one of those cases, but everybody was so nervous. Dude, once basketball is gone, what is going to happen? We see how things really spiral down for Lamar, but Gordon, also a similar guy. Offseason, like, dude, he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
But you get on the field, you get on the court, that's our safe place.
Right.
Playing sports, getting on there, doing what you do best. So hopefully it works out for him.
Yeah. Well, good stuff, Ryan. We appreciate you coming in, even though you were completely wrong about your top 10 list of NBA players.
Killed it. Ever since we record, you've been killing.
No, you did a great job. Appreciate you coming in.
Gosh, you guys are the best.
All right, thanks to Ryan for joining us. I don't know what Brandon does this thing where he just makes these dramatic
yes,
noises.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan Hollins, for joining us on the podcast again. Yep. And now it's time for Would It Quit It.
Yes.
We about to turn up in this bitch.
All right, what am I witting or quitting today?
Only 2 weeks into the NFL season and quarterback play is at an all-time high. Three of the biggest surprises slash highlights have been Chiefs Patrick Mahomes with 10 touchdown passes, Ryan Fitzmagic in Tampa with 8 touchdown tosses, and my guy Blake Bortles with the Jags who threw 4 touchdowns against the Patriots. Joy, Mahomes, Bortles, and Fitzmagic make their teams playoff contenders. Win it or quit it.
If you are a fantasy football player and they're on your team, then you can get to playoffs. No, this is what I'll do. I will list the contenders or pretenders, okay? That's what I will do. So I'm witting that Mahomes is a contender.
Yes.
Okay. I'm witting that Bortles is a contender with caveats.
Okay.
But I'm not buying Fitzpatrick.
You're not buying Fitzmagic.
All right, let me go through this. Patrick Mahomes, great. All right, I kind of poked some holes in my whole theory of letting your rookie quarterback sit behind a professional.
I think it's a huge hole.
Except for Sam Darnold is playing, and Allen is now playing, and Josh Rosen will likely be starting.
Let's see them second year.
And we'll see. Yeah. But anyway, Mahomes looks legit, and I'm not so big into the like, oh, he's got a big arm thing, but that dude's, he can chuck that ball downfield.
He got a big arm.
However, their defense is trash. And I don't mean like the people are trash because everyone always gets confused with that. Yeah. Like, I'm sure they're all nice people.
Yeah.
But as a whole, not a good unit.
They let people score.
A lot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the Steelers looked like a joke. Okay, they look like a joke on Sunday, and they still managed to score a whole ton of points. So I'm buying Patrick Mahomes. Congrats to the Chiefs. You got a quarterback, and he looks like he is the future there. And he set an NFL record with 10 touchdowns. So that's fine.
First 2 weeks.
Bortles, crazy. Look, like, Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles. Like, cool. All right? It's fine. I'm more of a believer in the Jags defense than I am in Blake Bortles. And as far as them beating the Patriots, like, congrats that that's a thing. But if you're a legitimate team, then being the Patriots is not a thing you get excited about.
Oh, okay,
about. So
okay.
It's like, oh, Super Bowl, like, oh, you're about okay. to look excited.
The same team that we're going to talk about going to the playoffs in October, in November, in September when you beat them is not
doing
a big deal.
Doing the postseason
deal.
Is all
not
I'm
a
saying.
Big deal.
And then finally, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick does this stuff.
Okay.
He has these flukes, okay, where he's awesome. Now, obviously, he looks great. Like, can't deny that. 819 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, 68 points in the offense. Like, that's
800 yards
that's
passing.
Legit. Okay, yep. can't argue with that. And sorry, Jameis, that job is gone. That ain't yours no mo. And the thing about it is I don't have a problem. Like, DeShaun Jackson already came out and said, you got to stick with Fitzpatrick. It's a wrap, dog. They're not going back to Jameis Winston. And if Jameis was injured, I would think it was a chance.
Right.
But Jameis is out because of Jameis. Yes. And that seems to be a consistent thing throughout James Winston's entire career, college and pro.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure that's a wrap. Unless Fitzpatrick just goes off a cliff, which I don't think he'll do, he is going to come back down to earth, that's for sure. That I have no doubt of.
When?
Like, eventually. They're going to go undefeated?
No, not undefeated, but he's there's a new play caller for the Bucks, first-year coach calling plays. It seems to be working. Fitzpatrick has a
hot take. They lose next week to the Steelers.
O.J. Howard is one of the best tight ends we've ever seen. He has weapons. He's going to spread the ball out.
He does have weapons. He's going to spread the ball out. Their offense is great. They're going to lose next week to the Steelers. The end. Look, it's great. I'm happy for you guys. Just the L is coming next week. Next.
Okay. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys kicked off the NFC East play by beating the Giants 20-13. I learned how to say scores this week.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas' defense stole the show, sacking Eli Manning 6 different times with 6 different players and effectively locking up OBJ and Saquon Barkley. Joy, the Cowboys are good enough to win the NFC East. Win it or quit it.
Wrong. No.
What?
Are the Eagles still in the NFC East?
With a quarterback coming off of injury, they're going to roll out in week 3 and Doug Peterson says, oh, guess what? We're not going to play scare. We're not going to coach scare. Okay, go out there and get Carson Wentz hurt again and have Nick Foles play the rest of the season.
No, Carson Wentz is not going to get hurt again. Okay,
I'm not wishing it on him. He's clear
to play. He's going to be fine.
I'm just saying in the NFC East, the Cowboys look real.
Huh?
They who are they competing against?
Because they beat the fucking Giants?
The joke. They didn't just beat the Giants. The defense beat the Giants. It wasn't.
If one ball bounces the wrong way, the Giants could have tied that up and gone into overtime. Were we watching the same game? That game was a joke. Everyone relax, all right? I would like for the Cowboys to be good, all right? Everyone wants the Cowboys to be good.
That defensive line is real. They're going to be ranked in the top five at the end of the season.
I know speaking the Cowboys into greatness, okay? This is no Cowboys hate. I don't care.
Jalen Smith is finally healthy.
I want the Cowboys to be good. But everyone just relax. They beat the Giants, okay? The Giants, shocking to all I know, are not very good this year. Remember how last year they were really bad? They're bad again. And Eli Manning is not getting any better. Oh, and yes, I am a supporter of Eli Manning. Yes. I thought it was bullshit that they benched him last year.
Yeah, he got like 87 yards from Saquon Barkley checking the ball off with Saquon Barkley. And Saquon Barkley is electric every time he touches the ball. Every single time he touches the ball. But Dak Prescott is about to get Bryce Butler back, one of my homies, and one of his favorite targets from last year. He's coming back, and he's going to spread the ball like he's been doing.
Their defense is good, all right? I will give them that, okay? But this is a very, very, very important year for Dak Prescott. Very important year.
True.
If they don't make the playoffs, I don't really know how this continues moving forward. Like, I like Dak Prescott. I do think he's a good quarterback.
Right.
But this is the year you got to find out. You have the pieces that you need. Obviously, I don't know what they were thinking with the fucking wide receivers, but that's whatever. But other than that, you got to make it happen this year, and they're not going to win the NFCs. It's the Eagles are.
Okay. Well, I said it.
All right. What's next?
The Browns are officially done with Josh Gordon. The Patriots agreed to trade their fifth round pick in next year's draft for the Browns' Gordon services. The Patriots are desperate for a wide receiver, and they just picked up one for the low. Joy, Josh Gordon is going to ball out this season in New England. Wit it or quit it.
Okay, so I'm going to wit it, but I'm kind of more hoping that I'm witting it than actually, like, I don't feel confident in that.
Yeah, I don't.
Here's the thing with Josh Gordon. I root for Josh Gordon to do well because I think he's an elite talent. That's not disputable. Like, he is great when he is there.
Yes.
And look, he has an addiction problem. And don't hit me with the weed thing. Like, oh, you can't be addicted to weed. Like, you can be addicted to anything. You can be addicted to food.
Yes.
You can be addicted to eating Tide Pods. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, it doesn't matter that it's weed.
Lay's chips.
Right. Exactly. There's lots of things you can be addicted to. Rallies. Okay. Like, clipping Fries. Your toenails. There's lots of weird things people get addicted to. So I don't want to hear about the weed thing. Like, he has a problem because he can't. You're not allowed to smoke weed and play in the NFL.
Right.
So until that rule is changed, that's something you can't do. However I feel about weed, it doesn't matter. Guess what? I don't play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So that's the deal, right? Whatever society feels about it. So if you have a choice between that and playing in the NFL, he's choosing the latter. And I understand he has an addiction problem. Everyone needs to admit that he has an addiction problem. Like, I think we're past that at this point. So if the Browns have given up on him, and they've been incredibly supportive of him, and it's also some mental health things as well. So it's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the best place for him because this is what Belichick does. He loves picking up somebody who everyone else feels like is an outcast and can't play anymore or doesn't have the mental capacity, mental health capacity to make it happen. Like, there's a lot that goes into being a professional athlete. It's not just being an elite talent. There's plenty of talented, giant, fast athletes out there who are not playing professional sports because there's a mental element to it.
Right.
Whether it's just being disciplined and getting to practice on time or eating right, like, there's levels to this shit. So, I mean, everyone keeps comparing him to Randy Moss. I feel like that's low-key disrespectful to Randy Moss.
Like, high-key disrespectful
to Randy Moss. Like, Randy Moss was an established, great wide receiver.
Future Hall of Famer before he got to the Patriots.
Like, whatever his personality traits are that made him difficult, he was not Josh Gordon.
Right.
So, I mean, LeGarrette Blount, Aqib Talib, like, they've had people that have gone there and dealt with big personalities. They can obviously manage big personalities.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is the spot for him. Hopefully it works, but I'm kind of like, you know, like this on it.
I think this is the right spot for him to get better for his next position. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. He's going to do whatever he's going to do with Tom Brady. They're not going to re-sign Josh Gordon to a contract, in my opinion. He's going to learn how to be a good football player, a professional football player from the Patriots and take those skills elsewhere. I mean, I had two buddies, Michael Floyd and Jones Gray, who were in that situation and were better football players after they left. But certain personalities can't fit in the Patriots organization.
No,
I think he's one of them.
I agree with that, but I do think that they're a system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't prove that you can't work there, then I don't know that you get a job somewhere else because people aren't going to take a risk on you.
He'll play well enough to get
his
job,
with his history. Like, it's too much history there. All right, what's next?
Okay, some NFL Hall of Famers are threatening to boycott all future Canton Hall of Fame inductions if their demands are not met. What are the demands? Healthcare, or health insurance, I guess is the right way to say that.
Sure.
Annual salary that includes a share of the league's annual revenue. That seems like it's a bit much to ask for. Joy, the NFL is going to have past Hall of Famers on their payroll. Win it or quit it.
good setup. I'm going to quit it. Because not that I'm saying I don't want that to happen. Right. I'm just saying the end of the question was, is the NFL going to do this? And yes. I'm going to go with no. Yes. Okay, so point number one. This caught me very off guard, I'm sure it did most people. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear any mumblings of this being a thing up until today.
Would.
Right, I would think so.
Yes.
So 22 players signed off on this. And the important thing to me is the list of players that are on here, right? Yeah. Like Eric Dickerson is leading it. Jim Brown, Earl mm-hmm. Campbell, Marshall Faulk, Joe Namath, Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders. Bruce Smith, Kurt Warner, mm-hmm. LT, and then Reggie White's widow, Sarah White. All of them signed it. So it's not like these are, you know, old school guys that current people don't remember playing or anything. Like this is a legit list, and some of them work for NFL Network. So it's very interesting what's happening here. The issue is this: like, I don't like when the NFL Players Association gets compared to, or the union gets compared to MLB. MLB is on another level. Like, MLB is up here compared to all unions, period.
Yeah.
Ever. So, yes, they all get lifetime health insurance. If you're on a roster for more than 43 days, you get lifetime pension. Like, they have an elite players union. And this is what the players negotiated. Like, this, you negotiated a CBA and you felt like health insurance wasn't a priority, okay? And I get it. There's a lot more players on an NFL team that all have to agree.
Right.
There are a lot more top-heavy players that don't have to worry about money during the offseason than the guys that don't make as much money that have to figure out a way to get this lockout moving. Like, there's a lot of moving parts here, and I get it. What I do agree with, however, is why the f*** don't they have health insurance? Like, this is by far the most violent game in America.
Collision
all sport. You're talking about is making the game safer, and you can't fall on the quarterback with your belly, and you can't don't touch their knees. Like, but they don't have lifetime health insurance? Like, huh? Huh?
It seems crazy.
It's crazy. It shouldn't be something you even have to ask for real.
Right.
Like, it should be like a thing. Oh, yeah. Duh.
At least at a certain year.
Of course, if you play for more than a year in the NFL, you should have lifetime
health insurance. Well, like, the average is 3.5 years. So if you miss that threshold, if you're going into your fourth year and you complete your fourth season, I think that's a perfect time to be you're taking care of the rest of your life.
I think it should be less than that even. But
as far as
the money goes with the Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. And I saw a tweet from Jim Trotter talking about why not do it for all retired players. Like, everybody can't get everything. And asking for a share of money if you're a Hall of Famer, I think, is fair. Because you are doing a lot for the NFL as a Hall of Famer. You're asked to do a lot. You're asked to appear. You're not given money for that, to make these appearances. That's so... I don't have a problem with that. That's what I feel like is more of a stretch.
I was like, that feels like the demand. It's like, okay, guys, let's slow down. Let's look at
this
thing again.
Okay, but, you know, Hall of Fame ceremony next year, all these 22 guys aren't there. Yeah. It's going to be noticeable.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not to fans, but to the Hall of Fame, it will be.
Yeah, and the NFL having problems with Hall of Famers, like, they're already getting hit from other sides. Getting hit from the Hall of Fame at the same time, and guys like Eric Dickerson, like, faces, like, busts walking around, being representatives of the NFL, it's hard to come back from.
Well, yeah, that's the other point of it, too, is that there's constant criticism of the NFL not being a players league. Like, it's more of an owners league, mm-hmm. and they don't really go out of their way to take care of players. And now former players and the greatest of former players are coming out saying that they need more. I just feel like this is they're doing what they feel like they have to do. I support it. I don't know that certain parts of it are actually going to come to fruition.
Yeah.
But the healthcare thing should just happen. Yeah. It shouldn't even be something you have to ask for.
Easy PR move for NFL to get in people's good graces, play the woke card like Nike did. Just give former players health insurance.
It's you make enough money.
Yeah.
You make enough money.
The NFL makes quite a bit of the monies.
Quite a bit of the dollars. Quite a bit of the dollars. They're swimming in the...
Swimming in it. What's the duck they used to?
I know, I'm trying to remember the duck. I'm trying to be funny, but I can't.
Scrooge McDuck?
Scrooge?
In the hard coins?
I love
that. Diving through water.
I always wanted to do that. Yes, like just dive in the money.
And just like,
but I feel like it would hurt because.
Yeah, it would hurt very badly. Yeah, well. It's heavy things, heavy coins.
Yeah. Hear ye, hear ye. Antonio Brown is petty.
Mm.
Welcome to the petty court.
Yes.
All this time, you thought we were saying petty report. We really weren't. We were saying petty court.
Petty court.
This is the petty court.
Yes. You roll your R's in a way.
Yes, that sounds, in a way that makes it sound different, but it's really petty court.
Judge Joy.
Judge, yes. With am I judge? I feel like I need something. I need like empress.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just went judge. I just went judge because of alliteration purposes. But you can obviously be whatever you want. Don't let me.
Empress Joy declares Antonio Brown is petty. All right. So the Steelers are a fucking disaster, yeah. And I don't have answers. I don't have any of the answers. I don't know what's happening. All I know is Antonio Brown was yelling on the sidelines of offensive coordinator and other coaches, which I don't get so much into like the yelling on the sideline. They're losing.
Right.
Okay. So I'd rather see people yelling than everyone sitting around like. So I'm actually okay with that. That doesn't bother me so much. And Antonio Brown's an emotional guy, so like, duh.
Yeah.
However, he did respond to a former staffer on Twitter who said that his career only exists because of Ben Roethlisberger and replied, trade me and we'll find out or something to that nature. And you just can't do that. And then he didn't show up on Monday, which I have no idea why the Steelers would be like, we are aware Antonio Brown's not here. We discussed this beforehand. Personal matter, the end. Like, why would you just not say anything?
Right.
It's weird to me. Like, that doesn't... It's like, is anybody just aware that there's media that might find out that Antonio Brown didn't show up today?
Right. Or when he tweeted, it's like, oh, let's get him... If they knew that he was not going to be in on Monday, like, getting in front of, like...
Yeah. Very, very simple self.
Yeah.
PR 101. Get ahead of it. So, anyway, that's all going on. Of course, Mike Tomlin was asked about it today. Filibuster for 7 minutes. Thought we weren't going to ask him about it. They did, obviously. And he said he's going to discuss it with Antonio Brown. Whole thing is super crazy. Mostly, Antonio's just being petty for responding to that guy.
Right.
Which, look, troll's going to troll. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I feel you. If you want to hit him with some flames, I'm good with that.
But also not
however,
just a troll.
The trade thing, you can't say trade me. You just can't do it.
No.
So, and obviously, he's not asking for a trade. It's more illuminating to what the hell is going on with the Steelers right now. I picked you to win the Super Bowl. I need you to get it together.
Get
okay?
it together.
Get it together.
All 1-1.
I don't like looking like a liar. Empress has spoken.
You going to send the Pittsburgh goons out to the Steelers?
No. I just do it. I don't know what's happening. Like, I don't get it. There's so much chaos. It's bizarre. Really, it is.
They're not a good football team.
They are. They're a great football team. I just don't understand what's happening. All right, time for Lit List.
Is it? At the Lit Show. Ooh.
Okay, so Florida's lit right now.
Yes.
All the NFL teams in Florida are undefeated, which includes, I know it's very confusing.
Yeah, who
that's the Dolphins. Who'd have thunk it?
Yes.
And the Bucks too, who'd have thunk it? Because we thought for sure they were going 0-3 without Jameis, and it appears Jameis has lost his job. So, other thing is that Dwayne Wade is back. Go Miami Heat.
Yes.
Even though Ryan threw some shade about how bad we're going to be this year, I believe in the Godfather. Riley, be with you.
Yes. So, but you, so you have faith in next year. Not this one coming up, but the year after that.
Whatever. Okay. Also, you didn't watch the fight, which I'm very disturbed by,
Who watches
Canelo
boxing?
Alvarez and Triple G fought. People watch boxing. It's
I know.
I
want to.
And especially this fight, because it was actually legitimately a good fight. And the first fight came down to a draw, which I was like, whatever. We'll get to draws later. But I was really a little confused about the outcome of this fight, because I felt like Triple G won it.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that.
I felt like it was going to be Triple G or another draw. Which I think
that
people would have flipped out about. And then it went Canelo, which I was like, I don't know about that. But also, so it's really the fight game altogether.
Why are people saying that?
Right.
Why do you think Triple G won?
He just looked better throughout the fight. Like, yeah. He just, I felt like he was hitting Canelo a lot more. And, I mean, Canelo was hitting the body, whatever, but just Triple G looked like he was standing higher at the end of the fight. Because it was such a close fight. To me, I just felt like Canelo looked more worn down.
Mm.
Plus, he got cut. Cut me, Mick! And Floyd has announced that he is going to fight Manny Pacquiao again, inexplicably. So we're going to have to watch that again.
I mean, why the... Can we... I'm so tired of...
I'm with you, but we're talking about it. We're talking about it. And McGregor fights soon, too. So
yeah.
Fight game's lit right now.
I'm ready for that. Fight game is lit.
Lose your power rankings. Lose your power rankings. These are the losers of the week. Okay, let's start with ties, shall we? Who cares about a stupid tie?
Everybody.
Okay. I'm really... You know what? A tie is just the worst. It's the worst thing that can happen.
How?
It's just like... It's the biggest tease. It's the worst. And, you know, the Browns and Steelers tied, and it was just, it was the worst watch ever. It was like, no one wants to win this fucking game. And then the Vikings and the Packers ended up in a tie, which is the worst, because that's a game you're just supposed to love, and then the outcome is like, it's like...
I love that outcome. As as somebody picking the Vikings to win the Super Bowl, the Aaron Rodgers can't even beat them.
They suck. I really need them to change the rules to the college rules.
The
rules already changed.
This is the fun little fact. 1973 is the last time they had two ties in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. In 1974, they rolled out overtime. So they kind of fixed it.
They did not fix it because there should not be ties. Should not be ties. Play a until tie you get a winner.
Every week. Every week there should be a tie in the NFL. No, it's that's the what I'm worst. Going until they prove me wrong. Tie every
terrible.
Week.
Terrible. All right. Also, kickers. Sunday was hell day for kickers. There were 19 missed kicks. 12 field goals, 7 extra points. I mean, somebody was getting taped to the wall in the locker room is all I'm saying. That was terrible. And a lot of people were cut. I'm not rejoicing about anyone losing their job, but right. You got one job.
It's arguably the easiest one on the football
field.
Just
kick the ball.
No, it is the easiest.
I'm not going to say that it's the easiest, but
out of all the jobs,
it seems like you should just be able to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe not miss that many. So, it's a rough day for kickers, for sure.
Damn it, Browns.
But did make Dan Bailey look like the greatest football player of all time. Mm. That's for sure.
Yeah, true that.
So, finally, a very, very bizarre story. Vontae Davis decided that Bills football is so bad, he would rather retire in the middle of the game than set one more foot on an NFL field.
You can't make this shit up.
It's such a weird story. So, Vontae Davis has played for 10 years, mm-hmm. and... they're down to the Chargers, obviously, because they're the Bills, so they're losing at halftime. And they're down 28-6, which is not terrible. No, I mean,
not for the Bills.
It's bad, but it could be worse.
Yes.
I feel like there's been bigger deficits at halftime. Mm-hmm. And he just decided he's done. Like, he's just not going to be out there anymore. And a lot of people were really upset with him, most notably his teammates. And it also likely cost him $5 million. From his contract too. So I just feel like you just tough it out. But whatever, that's what he wants to do. I just feel like it's weird.
That's quite the ass kicking.
You know what? Misha Tate came on Undisputed and we were talking to her about when, I think Shannon might ask her when she knew that she was done.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, in the middle of the fight. Which seems like the worst time to figure out you want to retire.
Yeah.
Okay, UFC especially. Yeah. Like you're in the octagon like, man, I really don't want to get hit in the face
especially
anymore.
Misha Tate, yeah.
This sucks.
You can't call timeout and be like,
no.
Hey, I want to retire
right now.
Yes. That last kick was too close to face.
I mean, respect, though. Like, you know when to hang it up. When you're done, you're done.
No,
but...
respect Vontae Davis.
No. I'm talking about Misha Tate.
Okay.
Misha Tate.
Yes.
But yeah, you got to finish the game, dog. I mean, if you're really done, if you're really, really for real done, you at least have to go out and be like, look, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm in a weird headspace right now.
Yeah.
I can't go back out there, but I'm going to sit here on the sideline and support my team.
Yeah, he was faking it all last year, too. Or at least the second half, finish faking it, put out an announcement, next week's going to be my last week, and then you have your goodbye tour against whoever the hell the
Bills
are
going to
lose
to. Or you don't
even
need to do that. Like, you don't even need to come back after the game's over, but you can't leave at halftime.
No. You can't pack your stuff up and go.
It's so bizarre.
He listened to the rest of the game on the radio on the way home. Crazy.
Ready, set, go.
Emmy So White was trending during the 70th annual show, the Emmy Show.
Yeah.
Right?
It didn't need to be, though, because there was a record number of minorities who won.
Yes.
So.
The history was made. This is for the first time in Emmy history, all trophies for all four guest actor categories went to African-American performers.
Right.
Tiffany Haddish won for hosting Saturday Night Live. Ron C. Fitzjones for being the black dad. And this is us. Samarie Wiley, the Handmaid's Tale, Orange is the New Black.
Love her.
And Cat
Williams. She also plays Poussey.
Yes, very famous from Poussey. And she's also married the director of that show, or the writer of that show, that happened during that show. Anyways, Cat Williams won for Atlanta for Alligator Man, which was great. Regina King won an Emmy for Outstanding Leading Actress in a Limited Series. And Tandy Newton on
Westworld
won for Outstanding Supporting Actress.
Yes,
and she
thanked God.
Variety looked it up and said this year, when the Emmys were announced, 36 non-white actors were nominated this year. That's 20% over last year's. So,
yay!
There for the Oscar So White. Not so white,
yeah,
is it?
No.
Even though there's one of those guys. That guy from Glee who won, he's passing. He's half Filipino. Just saying. That's it.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much for joining us this week, guys. We appreciate it. Thanks to Ryan Hollins for coming in. Mm-hmm. Always fun. Make sure that you subscribe to our new YouTube page, Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast on YouTube, and follow us on all of our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod. Yes. And quick Fantasy Football League update, the Maybe I'm Crazy League. Queen Petty kicked that ass this week.
Yes.
I want to give a big shout out to Ben Roethlisberger, even though that game was just a disaster for the Steelers.
Yes.
And also, who else do I need to give a little shout out? Put me over the edge there. Oh, yeah, James Conner. So, you know, Steelers. Jay Ajayi was looking a little sketchy there. And I really have to question for the Blazers, who I went against this week, because he has one, two, three, four, five quarterbacks.
Yes.
On his squad.
What are you doing?
It's a very interesting tactic. I don't know how that's going to work out for you long term.
Was he just silently drafting? How do we not notice this?
I don't know how. I don't know how, because we went live during the draft. I don't know how that happened. But hopefully it doesn't make me, you know, eat my words, because if he ends up beating me at the end of the year with five quarterbacks on his roster, I'm going to be very upset. How'd you do?
I lost. I could have won, but the Bears defense played well last night, unfortunately. I think that Prince Amakamaharo pick six kind of put it over the edge for me.
Right.
Just no heart coming back from that. I'm dropping down. I'm in the fourth place now, but, you know, I have some moves to be made. I'm sitting on Patrick Mahomes. He's on the bench. I'm ready to make a move. Kirk Cousins is I need some players. I need some weapons. I'm about to use Kirk Cousins as some lateral.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm in fifth. I'm right behind you. Yeah, collateral. Lateral is just a move that you make. All right, well, thanks so much for joining us this week again. Yes. Make sure you subscribe and follow.
Yes.
And we will catch you next week. And also make sure that you send in your hot takeritas.
Please.
DM them to our page. At Maybe I'm Crazy. Crazy Pod.
Stop writing out the takes.
Yeah, don't write them. Say them with your face.
Yes.
And then also you can email them as well, the videos, at micpodcasts@fox.com. And we will post you on our social media pages and give you some love. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. Ooh.